It's time for the 4th Street Sports Show, an award-winning program dedicated to all things Southern Miss athletics. If they're playing it, we're covering it. Welcome back to 4th Street Sports Show. I'm your host, Stu Mixon, here in College Hall on a Monday afternoon, joined by Devin Winston, Zion Cochran, Jackson Kennedy, here on 4th Street. Good to be back in studio on this gorgeous Monday afternoon. A little hot outside. Pretty big week in Southern Miss athletics. Not a great week for Southern Miss football, which we'll get into. At least they're not in a cheating scandal like Michigan is now. So at least they're not being investigated by the NCAA. So I guess you could be lower than how Southern Miss football is at this moment.
You know, putting people, buying 30 games
for Big Ten tickets,
right.
None of which Michigan was playing in. That's just a little.
I just want to say, I love some Michigan slander, so keep it coming. Michigan, you're in trouble.
Maybe USM should look into doing what Michigan.
No,
did.
They shouldn't. No. What are you doing?
We do not encourage this.
Zion.
We have gotten 45 minutes into a show, and you've already said something out of pocket. Can you just wait for like the 30-minute mark? 45 seconds.
It isn't.
We gotta have a timer. We just gotta have like a timer up behind
Zion. You cannot talk until after the first commercial break.
It has been 0 minutes since Zion said something to get him kicked out the studio.
Oh my God! It isn't 4th Street Sports without Zion just saying something out of pocket.
Dude, it's honestly,
Zion's over here like, let's see how we can make this football program go even more down.
It's like, hey, let's see a football program that, you know, is figuring out their issues right now and trying to resolve them. Let's add the NCAA breathing down their neck. Let's just, I feel like that'll help, you know, ease things up.
You know, before we continue, I'm going to just make this for Zion. I'm starting a stopwatch from here to the end of the show to see if you're going to say anything out of pocket. The timer is running.
Let's time it. All right.
Oh, my God. It's
on. Over under on 7.5 minutes.
I'm going to say under.
Devin,
under.
I'm going to go with the over just because he's going to be like, you know what, guys? No, I'm not going to say something. And then it'll be like 8 minutes in the show. He's like, okay, I can do it now.
Anyways, reel it back in here. Southern Miss, good week of sports this week. We're going to get into an eagle eye. But once again, at least they're not involved in a cheating scandal. Michigan, you know, they got to cheat to win, man. You know, they can't win by themselves. They got to cheat to win. That's just something that they do with that team up north. So let's jump into eagle eye. This is not the Cowboys slander podcast today. It is the Michigan slander podcast.
And it's just because the Cowboys are on a bye week.
That's right.
Next week, trust me, man, Cowboys, I'm coming for you.
It should be Cowboys slander all week. Every day.
And I just want to say that big game tonight. Devin's over here already shaking as a Ranger fan over here. Game 7 of the World Series. Astros Rangers tonight. Or it's not the World Series. It's NLDS. All I can say is I'm very excited for this MLB game, and I'm not normally excited for MLB games. So Rangers Astros tonight at 7. Devin, instant, just like a 30-second pick.
Rangers, please do not send me into spiraling depression. Win. Just win.
Okay,
I don't care.
There's your pick. All right, let's show me an eagle eye. Jackson, why don't you talk to us about some men's golf?
You know, man, you know, women's golf did well last week. Men's golf did pretty good this week. Senior Robbie Ladder fired a final round of 72 as Southern Miss finished in the Fallen Oak Collegiate in 11th place Tuesday afternoon in Sauchay, Mississippi. Ladder finished tied for 12th as he led the Golden Eagles with 11 birdies in the tournament. The Golden Eagles entered their 3-day total with an 898 in the 12-team field, which that's pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Junior Ryan Dupuy from Baton Rouge added a final round 78 to post a 224 total and a 35th place tie. Senior Thongpat Ridanayanan added a 77 on his first day for a 230 and a 56th place tie, while Supercorn Amorchian collected for an 80 for a 232 to end in 64th place. The Golden Eagles will play one more tournament this fall when they go into Charleston, South Carolina, and they will be playing in the Daniel Island Collegiate from October 29th through the 31st. So they'll be heading out to South Carolina this weekend. So best of luck to the golf boys out there. 4th Street, we're supposed to be objective, but, you know, we're rooting for you, man. Hope y'all do well.
Yeah, let's go to the soccer. Big game yesterday, Sunday afternoon, for the senior day out there at the soccer complex. They concluded their home season with a match against ULM, and they resulted that match with a draw. ULM's pretty dang good. They have 9 wins, 2 losses. They do have 6 ties as well, and this one included that tie as well. All I can say is, here's the thing. I just want to say this right now. Any sport that you can still tie in should not be a sport.
Whoa. Soccer is a sport.
It is a sport.
Don't start that.
But you shouldn't tie.
But you shouldn't
in it.
Tie.
Don't put European propaganda into my sports. Yeah. It's such like a European thing. Like, oh yeah, ooh, we'll tie. No, there has to be a winner.
This is league play though. We don't need to have a penalty shootout every game.
Yes, you do.
Every game. Mate, dude. Do you realize how many games Southern Miss would dominate? Tell me you have Alex Elbling right there in the goal, and there's penalty kicks, man. Ain't nothing getting past that. That is, look, Southern Miss.
That's actually a really good point.
Southern, like, it, if the rules were how God intended, then there's
superior
a winner and a loser.
Authority. I think
there's
Jackson did not fulfill your timer on that one. But anyways, it resulted in a draw. This is the second tie of the season for the Golden Eagles, the 6th tie of the season for ULM. Chloe Taylor netted an impressive unassisted goal in the 18th minute. She orchestrated a remarkable solo run from midfield. She launched the shot from just over 5 yards outside the box that eluded the goalkeeper's reach and nestled in the back of the net. Adara Nakano added another goal for Southern Miss. She utilized a left-foot goal inside the back of the net with an assist from Abby Bederick. The Southern Miss soccer team will head to San Marcos, Texas for their last regular season match against Texas State on October 29th. And that game will be live-streamed on ESPN+. Zion, what's going on between the nets?
Volleyball, my favorite sport, guys. Let's get into it. After trailing by 2 sets, Southern Miss rallied with 3 straight victories to complete a reverse sweep against Arkansas State Friday night in First National Bank Arena. Southern Miss forced a deciding set but trailed it by 3 in the period. Junior Mia Wesley stepped up in the moment with 2 kills to tie the game after freshman Frankie Pazanuzzo gave Southern Miss a set point with her 3rd kill of the match. Wesley iced the game with the final kill. Up next, the Golden Eagles travel to Atlanta, Georgia on October 27 and 28 next weekend to take on Georgia State. Let's do it.
Devin, what's going on? I'm sure everybody listening to this knows what's going on, but why don't you give us the synopsis of Southern Miss's football performance last Tuesday night?
Oh, God, it was that Tuesday night. I just want to ask everyone in the studio, do we all believe in curses?
Yes.
I didn't until this.
Dima?
I think Southern Miss will need an exorcist to get rid of this curse.
Yeah, because the South Alabama curse lives on as a team that hasn't even played Southern Miss before since 2020. Yes, the COVID season. Dismantled, dominated, flat out ran over the Golden Eagles in every facet of the game as they won 55-3, which is the largest margin of defeat in conference history for Southern Miss. The lone scoring drive of the game came on a 10-play, 61-yard drive, where Andrew Steen nailed a 32-yard field goal to deny South Alabama the shutout. Thankfully, Will Hall did bench our starting quarterback, Billy Wallace, for Holman Edwards because the offense was playing badly. As fun fact, the Golden Eagles haven't scored a singular offensive touchdown since the 52-36 loss on Texas State on September 30th. You are not hearing that wrong. September 30th. And as for South Alabama, a total of 647 yards, and they managed to limit the Golden Eagles to just 149. Well, 65, which came on their last drive, which ended at a fumble at the Jaguars' 29-yard line.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about football on the other side of this break. Just wanted to point out one little thing. South Alabama had not played Southern Miss in football before the 2020 season. And since then, they have played every year outside of – no, they've played every year
yeah,
now.
Every year.
Every year, and all of them have been dominant South Alabama wins.
I would say last year was a lot more competitive.
It was for the most part, but South Alabama still – basically a double-digit win there. Sullivan scored, I think, with like 30 seconds left. They kicked a field goal to make that 27-20. Obviously, very, very more competitive last year. But for the most part, South Alabama has dominated this game and led to Southern Miss basically forced resigning Jay Hobson, and now leading to some severe questions for Southern Miss's program, which head coach Will Hall did announce some significant changes to the program, which we'll get into and analyze that on the other end of this break. You're listening to 4th Street here on WSM 88.5. We'll be right back after the break.
Hello, everybody. It's DJ Mono playing your favorite tunes and mixes on Southern Miss Radio. You can catch me on air from 2 to 3 p.m. on Tuesdays and 4 to 5 p.m. on Wednesdays. So don't forget to tune in live to DJ Mono in the Mix on Southern Miss Radio.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What's up, guys?
Nothing much, Jake Lang. Just listening to the 4th Street Sports Show, of course. Mondays at 5 at WUSM 88.5 and brought to you by Southern Miss Student Media.
Back on 4th Street Sports Show, Devin Winston, Zion Cochran, and Jackson Kennedy. Time to talk a little bit about Southern Miss football. Not a lot of positives, I'll tell you that right now. As someone who's watched Southern Miss football for a long time, I had a chance to go and painfully rewatch the football game.
You did that to yourself?
Yeah. Devin, you weren't at Mobile with us. You're watching from home. We'll give you a chance to give your just initial thoughts. And then I want to talk about this wrinkle that Will Hall announced this past week to kind of change some things within the Southern Miss program. I want to get y'all's thoughts on it. And I want to tell you my idea of how to switch up some things going forward. Obviously, you'd think this season is probably lost, but going forward, you know, we're going to try to answer what would be best for football in general. Devin, instant thoughts after, I mean, I guess it's the Monday after thoughts for Devin.
The season is over.
Golly.
I just want to start that off by saying that. Offer. I wasn't there on that Tuesday night. I will always refer to it as that Tuesday night. On national television. That I was subjugated to watch somewhat, not because, you know, I obviously work here with 4th Street, but I wanted to watch. I wanted to have somewhat of a bit of hope just to think that I still think that, hey, maybe these guys can just come out. Even though what I said on, you know, on the podcast or and like in prediction before the game, I still had the fate. I still had the hope that these guys would come out and there would be some type of fight. But to go on national television, to go out to Mobile, Alabama on a Tuesday night, no other game is playing, and you lose 55-3. Surprisingly higher than the score I predicted, because I said it was going to be somewhat, you know, 35-3 if I can remember myself correctly. But all I'm here, like, even as we're past the game, as we're heading to a bye week, I'm still wondering, what is the point? What, like, where does Southern Miss football goes? This season, which was predicted to be Southern Miss are going to go balls up again, 7-5, maybe a shot at, you know, at a conference championship. I was seeing so much positive. You got a Clemson transfer. You had the tools. You had it all to make this become the resurgence year that Southern Miss football needed for God knows how long. And yet, every other game, my expectations, my hope are shot down, killed, buried, 12 feet, 100 feet in the grave. I genuinely do not know where to go with this team. And it's obviously nothing against the players. I don't know if you scrap everything. You start fresh. New head coach. And I'm not trying to call for anyone's job too far. I'm not. But where do you go? This team has been flat out embarrassed for week after week after week. And yet you expect, you know, a lot of fan base to stay with, like, to stay here and just be like, go Eagles to the top. Yeah. I promise you, come that UL Monroe game. Dima, what was the last attendance we had for the last game, if you can bring it up?
I don't know. It was like 18, 17,000, something like that.
I'm going to go one lower. I probably expect like 15K or something. Or like, God knows, 10K.
Hey, buddy. It was it was announced that that's going to be a 3 p.m. kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that even less people are going to be showing up.
Oh,
people are predicting anywhere from 5 to 10.
Oh, thousand. Best believe. This being a student here, talking to my friends who, you know, as the only freshman on the podcast and here on 4th Street, you know, I talked to, you know, my freshman friends. I asked them how you feel about the team. None of them want to come out. None of them. They would rather spend their Saturdays going to God knows what. Going to state, going to LSU, going anywhere. Because they just don't have a team to fully back and support. Southern Miss football this year has not only killed the hope and spirit for the fan base, the students, but for everybody. I don't know where to go from it. I don't. And this has been a rant because I've been keeping this bottled up for God knows how long at this point. Make that a count. I'm sorry,
a week.
God. Yeah, a week. A week I've held this bottle up. Because I'm frustrated. I'm tired. I'm sick. I'm sick to my stomach. I'm sick. This is worse than eating Burger King on a regular night. I'm sick.
Well, you know, Southern Miss, they decided where to go from there. You know, Devin's frustration, it's hard to blame him. It's hard to blame any Southern Miss student not wanting to go to watch Southern Miss. They rank, if not last, very low in most stats in the NCAA right now. Arguably one of probably lower 10 of college football teams in the country, maybe even lower 5 as far as stats. There has to be change, and I think Will Hall recognized that. So on Tuesday, he announced that he would no longer be calling plays. I'm going to say his full quote because, you know, what happens when you don't say his full quote, like some people did. So he said, over my time here, I know that the time it takes to run the offense and be the head coach has proven to be too much for me. I think we've made great strides in a lot of areas of our program. You know that. Y'all keep up with us off the field. He was talking on Sports Talk Mississippi. This program is probably the best situation since Coach Bauer was here. You know, we've done a lot of great things in managing the program and building the program, but our offense has been stagnant for too long. At the end of the season, I'm going to address that issue swiftly and urgently. In the meantime, I'm going to be turning play calling and game planning responsibilities over to Jordy Joseph and Sam Gregg for the rest of the season in hopes of creating a spark to finish the year on a high note. End quote. I think it's going to be interesting to see this play out because I don't know what the difference is between Will Hall and Sam Gregg because the offensive line hasn't looked that good. So I don't know. You know, maybe it's all Jordy Joseph's job. Jackson's out. I want y'all to hear this and kind of comment on this hypothetically, and this is what I think they should do. This is honestly what I think they should do. They need to move whoever's calling the plays up to the box. Whoever the offensive coordinator is, if it's Sam Gregg needs to go up there, if it's Jordy Joseph, you know, obviously you don't want Will Hall up there, but if in the offseason they get a new offensive coordinator, he needs to be up in the box so he can see the defensive formation. A lot of offensive coordinators like to be on the field because they like to be able to talk to their quarterbacks, talk to their players. That's why they have phones. You know, you can have a phone. But I really think the defensive coordinator should be on in the box because the reason Austin Armstrong was not in the box was because of his energy on the sideline.
And because Dan O'Brien was up in the box, right?
Yeah, I don't remember. I think he was. But, you know, Austin Armstrong was on the field. The energy that Austin Armstrong had, there is not that energy on the sideline. And I actually said this in the beginning of the season, that I didn't get that same vibe, and I didn't know how big that vibe would be or how big that void of a vibe would be with Dan O'Brien as the defensive coordinator. Obviously, it's showing up pretty big right now because the defense looks horrendous. Like, it doesn't look good at all. And obviously, they have some issues in the secondary, But you can't go to Mobile on Tuesday night and not even look like you belong on the same field. So, you know, I think this is a step in the right direction. I think it's a recognized need for change. I think Hall is quoting here that he's probably going to be looking for an actual offensive coordinator. That's why he's saying we're going to address this issue swiftly and urgency. He also said yesterday on the Sun Belt Conference news call that he is not committed to Billy Wiles for the rest of the season. So he could be seeing a quarterback change this week. Obviously, we'll be at practice tomorrow to give you all the updates on that. But what do y'all think about that up in the box, potentially, to look at scheme? I know it's different for play callers in general. Some like to be on the field, some like to be on up top. But I think to start out, I think you got to.
Yeah, I mean, just starting off, I feel like I brought it up to you off air about your comment in fall camp of saying there's not much energy on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. There's not much energy, which it's fine. If Dan O'Brien is not a high energy, all up in your face guy like Austin Armstrong is, that's perfectly fine. I'm not going to expect him to be someone he's not, but he needs to have someone who is.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, I said at the beginning of the season, I said in fall camp, and Dima, if I'm not misremembering, you agreed with me when I said this is the most talented roster in the last 7 years for Southern Miss.
I think it's what it definitely appeared to be. It definitely has not been the most talented roster, not even close.
It hasn't been. And the thing is, it's like, all of these guys have the potential in which to do fantastic things, but they haven't, and it doesn't seem like they're motivated to do so. So it's not anything against Dan O'Brien, but it's like you need to have someone on the sidelines that can motivate the guys, that can get up in their face. Because if you were asking 18 to 25-year-old men to go put their body on the line for 60 minutes, smacking into other people that are 300 pounds, full of muscle, trying to stop them, you need to be yelling. You need to be energetic, because you need to motivate these guys to go out there and attack it, and you need to motivate them to do so much as run through a brick wall for you, and it doesn't seem like that energy is there. So I think that's going to be one of the bigger things to be addressed.
Well, to your point, Nima, you were saying that maybe the coaches, the coordinators should move up to the press box and whatnot, but honestly, do you believe if Dan Bryan goes to the press box and whatnot, right? Do you believe they lose by 48 instead of 52?
Well, I don't think it's that question. I think rather you got to make some type of change. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to keep this staff, which it sounds like he is until the end, because I mean, why wouldn't, if you feel like you're going to fire your defensive coordinator, why would you wait till the end of the season? Right, so sounding like he's going to keep his staff, maybe go hire another offensive coordinator. So you got to try something. These next five games are what, we got to try something, right? Yeah. I think that's my thing. Like this weekend when Jordy Joseph and Sam Gregg was calling plays against App State, do we see them up in the box or not? Does Dan O'Brien, does he move up to the box? That's going to be kind of questions I just want to know. So that's what I'm saying. It's probably not going to make a huge difference. Because like Jackson's saying, these players have got to get motivated. They're not motivated. And I think he has, as much as they don't want to admit it, I think he's lost the locker room.
Yeah, definitely.
I understand that. And back to the point you were just making, if he's feet and inches away from the players on the sideline, Dan O'Brien, the defensive coordinator, what if he's 100 feet away in the press box upstairs, Does that make them be even more fueled up? Does that make them, fight even harder? I don't think so, guys.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying he's not that right now. Yeah. So if he goes up to the box and gets somebody who is that,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a positive for the program.
Yeah.
Look, all I'm saying is you could throw me, my 6'1", 187-pound self full of not muscle, and you throw pads on me and you expect me to go tackle someone, I'm not going to do it. But if Coach L.A. is on the sideline yelling at me to do it, I'm going to go get folded in half, but I'll still do it. Like if you have Coach LA on the sidelines yelling and motivating the guys like he does at practice and like he does during games, but in a more supplementary role, if you put him in a more primary role as the lead motivator, as the guy to kind of just get with these guys, that this team is going to be playing entirely different. Like no matter who may or may not have lost the locker room, Coach LA will never. I don't think Coach LA would ever lose any locker room that he ever encountered.
Yeah, I think Will Hall has lost this locker room, and we'll see what happens. They got five games left.
App State, UL Monroe,
Raging Cajuns, Mississippi State, and then Troy.
Yep. If that doesn't tell you how defeated, you know, I sound, and pretty much everyone is, I think that one win is about to be all we see for the rest of the season.
1-11, yep. Lock the key. I mean, excuse me. Throw out the key and lock the door. I mean, it's over if you ask me. I don't see them winning any of the games this season.
Unless a divine miracle, some way somehow happens, the season is over. Like I'm quoting this one video I see. It was really represented how I felt this season. It was just, I was pumped. I was like, yeah, we're gonna go into every other team's house. We're gonna show up, dominate. We're gonna do good. And then here we are, just defeated.
Well, okay, here's the deal. I think everybody recognizes that this season is probably lost. So as media, we're going to sit here and try to analyze how it can get better. So what I'm saying is, how can next year in 2024, which is now the season everybody should be looking forward to, how can Southern Miss not get blown off the field 55-3 in 2024? How can they not get obliterated by, I mean, obviously you got Ohio State to start the season. That's not going to be an easy game. But after that, I mean, that schedule, that non-conference schedule, I think they got...
obviously week one is Ohio State or week zero. Then Southeastern at home, first game. Then you have USF, and then away to Jacksonville State.
Right. So you got a pretty simple non-conference. you probably throw out that Ohio State. I mean, you definitely throw out that Ohio State game. But you throw out that Ohio State game. I think you can beat USF at home, right?
Like 100%.
I mean, these are games that. So how does Southern Miss fix what happened this year for next year? It's going to start with recruiting, but I think more importantly, it's going to start with coaching. And there's got to be some significant coaching changes over the offseason, and we'll see what those are. So we'll still be giving you coverage. We'll still be giving you top-notch coverage for this football team, but most of our coverage now will be framed with how does this make them better in 2024? Does that mean this? Does that mean this? Does that mean this? And all I'm saying is maybe moving these coordinators up to the box might be a positive change, and they have five games to kind of figure that out. And also think, maybe throw Ethan Crawford out there. He has three games left to play his red shirt, and we haven't seen him in a while. So we'll see what happens. Probably not this weekend because it's a road game, but against ULM, I mean, you might as well try him. Like, why not?
Don't hurt.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll be back on the other end of this break. That segment kind of went long. We'll be back on the other end of this break. Can I talk? Other end of this break with our flower section, and then we'll wrap up the show. And probably, you know, derail Michigan a little bit more. So we're back on the other end of this break. Devin Winston, Zion Cochran, Jackson Kennedy, I'm Dave Mixon. We'll be right back on 4th Street.
Sponsorship comes from Southern Beverage, your local Michelob Ultra distributor. Michelob Ultra has significantly fewer carbs and calories per serving if you are watching those in your diet. You can reach Southern Beverage by phone at 601-268-9111, or you can find them on the internet at southernbeverage.com. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri, and Southern Beverage ask you to please drink responsibly. Research shows that audiences feel positively about businesses that underwrite programming on their community radio station. Research also shows that the audiences are likely to patronize businesses that support community radio programming. The audience also believes that businesses that support community radio care about their community. If you want to build this type of relationship with WUSM's audience, call us at 601-266-4287 to ask about sponsoring programming. It's more than just exposure, it's building a community relationship.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the show. We're now giving flowers.
Welcome back to the 4th Street Sports Show here with Devin Winston, Zion Cochran, Jackson Kennedy, and Devin Mixon. Here, time for the flowers section. We had three nominees. I'll read them out to you, then I'll need a drum roll to give us are the winner for flowers. So for football, we had Swayze Bozeman, who had a career-high 12 tackles against South Alabama. I guess he had the only tackles against South Alabama if he had a career-high.
bittersweet. Brutal today, are we?
Brutal.
Bittersweet.
I know, I always feel bad for putting a football player on because like, it's like they had a great game, but I mean... You have a career high game and you get beat 55-3. Yeah, you're doing something right.
I just want to say this before we continue. Swayze Bozeman, I was there on the field taking photos. He had a fantastic night. Like anytime someone came towards him, he made the tackle. I think he only had one miss like one, maybe two misses all night. But like, he played his heart out, and that's what makes it like all the more upsetting when you see the final score or when you see other players jogging, because like Swayze Bosin's putting his heart on the line every single play.
Yeah,
for sure. And then we also have Mia Wesley, who won four straight last week. She had 12 kills versus Arkansas State in a reverse sweep. And then for soccer, we put Chloe Taylor on there with the midfield unassisted goal. That was pretty great versus ULM. Gentlemen, can I get a drum roll? The winner of the four straight player of the week goes to Mia Wesley.
I knew
back-to-back weeks. How about that?
Two-timer, huh?
And Mia, I actually forgot to post your little graphic last week, so I'll post it tonight, and that way you can have it. And you got it 2 weeks, so you have two flowers. So congratulations to Mia. We got about 12 minutes or so until 13 minutes until we get out of here. So, gentlemen, what do you want to talk about?
Did Mia get her flowers last week?
She did not.
Oh, man.
You need to bring them to her. If you go to volleyball, bring her flowers.
Actually, as a friend, of course, I will and whatnot, but, you know.
What?
Where's
the timer?
What was the timer at? It was definitely the over.
It was the over. Okay, 37-56-55. He almost made it 38 minutes, which is higher than my prediction, but I also won on the over, so both of y'all can kick rocks.
I will deliver your flowers.
Go ahead. You deliver them. You
as a
fourth
street sports co-host, yes.
Yes. I don't know in what direction. Like, oh yeah, Zion, you'll be at the game. You should deliver them. Oh well, I mean, I'll deliver them as a friend, of course. No.
I'm not gonna put anyone's business out there, but I believe she has a significant other. You know.
Why are we talking about this? It's like, hey, you won this award. I am bringing you this award. Don't want to make things awkward if you've got a boyfriend, but I'm just bringing you this award. You're making it awkward
it
out.
I'll give them to her boyfriend so he can give them to her. That sounds better. Jesus. I like that idea right there. Oh, but on to the weather, guys. You know,
on to the weather.
Oh my God.
No, honestly, I don't like the mood
banger
swings.
After banger.
I don't like the mood swings because it's cold.
I can agree.
It's 60 degrees as the high one day. Then it's 85 like this weekend. Like, what is that, bro?
I wholeheartedly agree. I'm a big fan of cold weather. My ideal weather is anywhere from 40 to 55 degrees. That is where I thrive because I like long sleeves. I like jeans. I like being able to wear a flannel and not sweat. I recently discovered in college that I like flannels a lot, and I don't care if it's basic because I just like it. But like that, hoodies, you know, like or even like a button, like or even like a nice button up, or like a sweater or sweatshirt or something like that. They're so comfy, but they're also warm, and it's like you can also. There's so many more activities, or at least in Mississippi, that you can comfortably do during the cold. So I was like, oh hey, winter's coming early. It's gonna be great. And then today I'm like, yep, I'm wearing t-shirt shorts and I'm sweating like walking up the stairs to College Hall.
I know, bro, because it's been a couple times within the past few days, right? I wear sweatpants, hoodie, hat, and all, bro. And then I'm sweating as soon as I take like 5 steps outside, bro. And then the next day, I come out in shorts and then a short sleeve shirt. And then it's cold as all get. I feel like I'm in Antarctica or something like that. I'm just like, yo, what is going on? You know, I don't know who's messing with the thermostat upstairs, but hey, yeah, you need to get it in line, bro.
Yeah, whoever it's going to be 80s all week this week. The next Tuesday, high of 74, low of 56. Then we get a high of 68.
Oh, wow.
Of 68. Yeah. Let's go. See, my ideal weather is like 55 to 70. 55 to 70 is my ideal weather. So, gentlemen, Diamondbacks up 4-1.
Game 7. We're going to game 7. Please.
They got 2-1 on the top of the fifth.
See, okay. This is like in tandem with that conversation. I feel like people would care a lot more about the MLB if they had less regular season games.
Yes.
Because, I agree. Because as the NBA.
Yeah. Because the thing is, like, the NFL is such an extravagant thing because there's only 18 weeks of the regular season, then you've got
17.
The playoffs, you know?
I'm a 17 week.
Yeah. Yeah, like 17 weeks was good, but, you know, the money was too lucrative. I just hope the NFL doesn't get to a point in which there's more weeks than 18 because it's like, you know, the reason why people love the baseball playoffs is because it's high stakes. But if you've got like 100, 300 regular season games, it's going to be hard to catch one and care about it because it's statistically not as significant. You know what I mean? Like, one loss in the MLB is not the same as one loss in the NFL.
I was talking to one of my buddies. He covered the Cleveland Indians back when they were the Indians. Now they're the Guardians. He covered the Cleveland Indians in like 2016, 17, something like that. And he said he would never, ever cover Major League Baseball again because you get in the middle of June and the Indians would be – now the Guardians. But the Guardians would be, you know, 61 and 50. And you go to them and you're like, what do you even talk about? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you played – when you're like 61 and 50, it's like, how'd you like that swing in the second? You know, so there's just a lot of games. And I heard that they're trying to expand, like, the MLB season. Oh, so what is it now? It's like 165 games?
162.
162. Okay, so 162. They were trying to get up to 180, I think. So
why?
Honestly,
because I think they wanted to move it back to when – what is it? It normally starts in April, right? So it's like April to now and then – but the reason is because the World Series will start next week, and it'll go into November, and they really want the World Series to be in October. So they're trying to move back the regular season, doesn't make sense to me why you'd need to add more games. But
Here's a proposal, because I know that there's a lot of MLB executives that listen to the show.
Thank you for listening, Astros.
Our word
and we know Michigan's sign-stealing.
Yeah.
And we know y'all like to sign-steal too, Astros, and you're not going to win tonight.
You know what? For Devin's mental health, I hope that is the case. But anyways, here's my proposal for the MLB. Start the season directly, like, give it a month after the Super Bowl, okay?
So, like, in March?
Mm-hmm. Like, early, mid-March, okay? Because, you know, it's beautiful baseball weather. And then you have only 100 regular season games. So not 165, not 180, 100. Mm-hmm. And you can space them out to where the World Series is in September. And it ends, and then NFL football begins. Because the thing is that there's a lot of people that watch the MLB during, like, the NBA, NFL drought. But if you allot a specific time for MLB and you make the games more meaningful, I'm not saying drop to, like, 30 games. But if you drop to maybe like 100, the games matter more. You know what I mean?
How many games? College is like, 65, 63, like that. So,
And college baseball is now rising, especially among like ESPN Plus viewership. It's rising at a rate quicker than the MLB. So I feel like they could take a page out of that book.
Yeah. Probably never will, just cause all the money involved. But, you know, you never know. But I will say that I don't know if they could start in March because the reason, like, the Big Ten and stuff and, like, ACC, Northern ACC baseball schools, the reason they're so bad is because, like, in February and March, they're playing, like, baseball in the snow. And, like, I don't know how, like, realistic that is. Like, if you're playing, like, at Minnesota Twins and it's 20 inches of snow while you're trying to play baseball.
Awesome.
It'd be crazy. Imagine, like, a baseball, like, dropping in front of you just dives into the snow. Anyways, but obviously this has nothing to do with Southern Miss, but we're still talking about it.
We talked about it earlier, guys. Astros and the Michigan football program—they're reaping the benefits of their results. I'm only joking here, guys, of course, but I mean they're reaping the benefits of their results. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm gonna keep it at that, guys.
Yeah, you probably should keep it at that.
But just remind you, there is a Rangers fan in this room. Who, I promise you, do not praise the Astros around me.
No,
just don't say they're my Rangers.
But a little small rant real quick. Foster Moreau of the Saints, man, I could have caught that pass last week in the back of the end zone. USM's very young Jakarius Kasson could have caught that. Jackson Kennedy could have caught that. Demon Mixon could have caught that. Devin Whitsett could have caught that pass. What are you doing? If you're listening, Foster, catch
the last
the ball.
15 minutes of our shows on Monday is just ranting about everything that went wrong. The state of football for most Southern Miss fans right now. Actually, for the state of sports for most Southern Miss fans. First off, the Braves lost in the postseason. Second off, the Saints.
Yes.
The Saints are awful.
They're 3-4.
Terrible. And then Southern Miss doesn't even have a football program right now. So
Let me get to you on the Saints real quick. I'm sorry, Jackson. Fire Dennis Allen.
I don't think it's Dennis Allen. Pete has to go.
I think it's
Pete Carmichael.
And Trevor Penning. He has to go.
I think Derek Carr needs to stop wearing eyeliner to every game.
No. Bench Derek Carr. Give me Jameis Taysom.
Wait, doesn't it feel like Derek Carr, like, wears eyeliner? His eyes are like...
They are...
Like, that's how he looks.
I wish we had the YouTube live stream.
He's a part of Kiss, huh?
Yeah. Awesome. Nobody just saw the face I just made.
Yeah, every time Derek Carr's on the sideline, he just makes his.
Yeah, he looks.
He's like.
I love how we're using nonverbal communication for a radio show.
He looks like,
oh,
the
yeah,
queen
these guys
band
know
member.
Exactly what we're talking about.
Basically, like I'm putting my jaw towards my throat.
He's just they're just contorting their faces.
He looks like a god chick, bro.
He looks like a god.
I mean, serious. Okay, bro. That, he does.
What was the timer on that one, Devin?
That's the truth.
10 minutes.
Anyways,
I mean, nothing against.
Bouncing back to Southern Miss Sports.
Oh, my.
Like you said, it is not a pleasant fall because, you know, my dad and I, it's not like we hate the Saints, but we're just Packers fans because my dad came to Southern Miss shortly after Brett Favre went to the Packers. So he was like, hey, look, I guess – and my dad grew up a Cowboys fan. He's like, no, I can't do this anymore. And so he just started rooting for the Packers. But he's like – he told me as we were like, you know, it's gotten to a point in which we watch NFL Red Zone over a Packers game because it's like we'll see it if something good or terrible happens. But, yeah, it just – anyways, my dad looked at me and said, you know, Southern Miss like he told me Green Bay is not giving me my Southern Miss reprieve right about now.
Yeah, I understand that one.
Yeah. Well, we got to get out of here. So Devin Winston, Zion Cochran, Jackson Kennedy, I'm D.B. Mixon. Thanks so much for listening to the 4th Street Sports Show. We'll see you on Thursday for our Prince Pick'em show previewing Appalachian State. We'll be back on Thursday. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the 4th Street Sports Show. We'll see you on the field or in your headphones real soon. And as always, Southern Miss to the top.